You have your Bible, find if you would please the 16th Psalm. We'll begin there. Pastor, to be honest, I don't have much of a devotional life. Pastor, to be honest, one of the most frustrating things about my Christian walk with the Lord are my devotions. Pastor, I feel like such a failure when it comes to my devotions. Pastor, I start out strong, but it seems like I don't ever make it to the finish line in my devotional life. Some of the statements that I hear from people. Pastor, I read my Bible, but I seem to get distracted very easily. Welcome to the world. Sometimes I even lose interest in what I am reading. Pastor, I struggle in my devotions because I just don't know much about the Bible. I read a passage, but I'm not able to understand the meaning of the passage. I think it's because I don't have the history or the background like you. When you preach, the Bible just seems to unfold for me. But when I read it by myself, I just don't feel like I understand where it's coming from, and there I'm just picking things out of the blue. Pastor, I'm so discouraged in my devotional life, and I to the point where I just am overwhelmed. When I read the Bible, I feel so inadequate. I feel guilty. I hear others talk about this beautiful and wonderful devotional time and how God meets them. And that's foreign to me. I want it. I beg for it. I try for it. But it just seems like others are getting what I'm not getting. Pastor, I want to read the Bible. But man, finding time is just a killer. I just don't have enough time in my day to have what I determine to be meaningful or memorable devotions. Therefore, if I can't do it meaningfully, then I just struggle doing it. Pastor, I just don't know how to get anything out of my Bible reading because I don't understand a lot of the words. I get lost on the words. Pastor, I struggle in my devotional life because it seems like I read the chapter, I get done with the chapter, and I can't even tell you what I just read. I read five or six verses, and I think, what did I just read? I get done with the passage, and if you ask me, Pastor, to tell you what I just read, it's like it goes in and goes through me, and nothing stays with me. Because of that, it makes me feel guilty or sad, and so I just give up. Pastor, I have a hard time because I just don't know how to apply the scripture to my life. I read the stories and I read them, and they're great stories, and I read what's on the page, but man, sometimes making that personal application, you'll talk about personal application. You'll talk about God meeting you and showing you a truth. And we'll come to church and man, you'll have us underline words in that passage. And I never see them by myself. And therefore, because I can't apply the Bible, I get frustrated in my reading. Is any of this true about your life? I would submit it's true because we have a great attendance tonight. And I don't think it's because it's milkshakes. So I have a friend, and he wrote a book on this subject, entitled 25 Obstacles That You Overcome in Your Devotional Life. I called him this week, and I said, I read your book, and I think it'll help my people. Can I use your book as a syllabus and preach some things from the book? And he gave me his permission. I want you to know that I'm introducing a subject tonight that I will come back on. I'm after your thought process tonight. In no way, shape, or form do I stand here tonight as your pastor and want to heap more blame or more frustration or more guilt or more sorrow on you. I don't want to manipulate you. As your pastor, I love you. As your pastor, I want you to know victory in your devotional life. And so I want to give you some things tonight, or a mindset tonight in our introduction, to help you to go from a defeated position in your devotions to a very victorious time in your devotions alone with God. You might want to have a pen and write some thoughts down here. Let me begin very simply by telling you what your devotional time is not. And when I say devotional time, I'm talking about that time that you spend alone with God in the reading of the Word of God. One of the things that is imperative for you to understand if you're going to overcome some obstacles in your devotional life and have a vibrant relationship with the Lord in this area is that your devotions should not be a time of pressure or performance. God is not looking to pressure you to some kind of performance to spend time with Him. On a human level, it's miserable sometimes to feel pressure to have to hang out with somebody. Right? I don't want to go to their house. I don't want to be around them. Why do we have to go here? Why do we have to spend time with them? Humanly speaking, there's never any joy to be around someone if you feel pressured or to be there, or if you feel some way where you have to have a performance. God doesn't want you to devote to Him like that. God did not allow us and bring us to a devotional time or a time to spend time with Him where it was in the heart of God for it to be immense pressure or somehow a performance base that you feel. Spending time with God, devoting to Him, is your opportunity to listen to God and to be with Him. I'll talk with you about that in a moment. Your devotions were never meant to be an item to check off of your list for the day. How many list checker offer lovers do I have in the audience tonight? That's me, baby. Beverly will beg me to do something around the house, and I will not do it for a long, long time. You know when I do it? I do it when I get enough. I almost said something wrong there. But when I make my list and I put that thing on a list, now she's learned and she says, here's a list of things that need to be done. Why? Because when I can check those lists off, man, satisfaction just feels great. Your devotions with the Lord were never meant to be something you check off of a list for you to do for the day. They were not designed to pressure or for a performance. They were also not designed, a third thought here, as some kind of super formula to turn you into a super Christian. Well, if I read this, check this off, do my diligence here, punch my clock, then somehow I'm just going to be a super Christian. No, my friend. You checking off a list is not going to turn you into a super Christian. It's going to really and truthfully make you a fake Christian in that aspect. Devotions, if I could give you some mental pictures, really and truthfully are to be like Adam and Eve in the garden as they walked with God in the garden, spending time with Him. Daniel and his faithful prayer meeting at the window of his house. Moses meeting with God in the cleft of the rock. Look at Psalm 16, verse number 11. Let me show you really and truthfully what I believe to be a foundation for your devotions. As David is writing here, and he's expressing here his trust in the Lord. Verse number 7, he talks about, I will bless the Lord. Verse number 8, he says, I have set the Lord always before me. Verse number 9 talks about how his heart is glad and his glory rejoiceth. Verse number 10 is the promise of no corruption. And then look at verse number 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy, what class? Presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I need you to have a mindset that devotion time with God is really and truthfully just that. Time with God in His presence. In His presence, there is joy. So if there is a performance-based, or if there is a pressure to that, then you know you're approaching this wrong mentally. And by the way, anytime you take a performance-based mentality to the Lord, you're going to fall short every time. And you're going to get frustrated. You're never going to be able to sustain any type of performance. God never wanted you based on any type of performance based like that. But what God is desiring is God is desiring to spend time with you. He loves you. And I want to give you three thoughts tonight to write down and three things that I want to address in your thought process when it comes to how you think about devoting and spending your devotional time with the Lord. The first thing I want you to remember that my friend put to me was that we need to remember that God is our partner. Write that down. God is our partner. What do you mean by that? God, through the Holy Spirit, breathed His word into men to write the scriptures as He intended. When Jesus ascended up off of the earth, He promised us that a comforter would come. And so we know that comforter is the person of the Holy Spirit of God. So let me ask you this question, believer. When it comes to you and the Holy Spirit of God, where does the Holy Spirit of God reside? In me, right? Therefore, you are never alone when you read the Bible. Pastor, I just feel like the Bible's there. I'm here. I feel like that there's just this chasm as I approach the Word of God. That's because you don't understand the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. If you're in a faith relationship with Christ, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. When you pick up your Bible to meet God, remember, He resides in you. Write two scripture passages down. We're going to go to one, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Also, write down, if you would, John 16, verse number 13. In John 16, 13, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God is the one that guides us into all truth. But I need you to see 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 12, and just let the truth of this help you in your understanding of the Holy Spirit of God and His blessed privilege and responsibility when it comes to us in our walk with the Lord. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost," what's that word, class? "Teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things." Now, you're not, believer, in verse 14, the natural man. The natural man, or the unsaved man, he receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. He cannot know them, because they are spiritually, what? Discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. All right. So, Pastor, I have the Holy Spirit of God, right? Here's the perplexing and confusing thing, and this is what people miss. If I'm honest with you, Pastor, I feel a spiritual drawing to spend time with God. Now, My life prohibits that, my choices, my scheduling, my frustration or whatever. But I do feel the Holy Spirit of God wanting me to come and enjoy the presence of God. So then when I do sit down and I read the Word of God, and as I begin to read the Word of God, it's not very long I'm distracted. It's not very long I'm this. It's not very long I'm lost here. Right. And the way that you eliminate that is that you must understand your need for the Holy Spirit of God as you commune with God. So you would never want to sit down and read the Bible without asking the Holy Spirit of God to teach you. Holy Spirit of God, teach me. Illumine to me. Let me know your presence within me. Holy Spirit of God, mediate that presence between me and God. If you try to devote with the Lord and spend time with him, and you don't reckon that the Holy Spirit of God is in you, he is the one that is able to teach you those things. This is not something you're going to be able to do on your own. This is the blessed privilege of him. Those that try to do it on their own, we get frustrated very easily. But you will find as you come and commune with God and you set aside that time and you allow the Holy Spirit of God to be very instrumental in that time. Don't hate me for this, or take me wrong here. It's not so much about you just checking off the list. It'll be that you will know within your spirit, the Holy Spirit of God communing with your spirit, and you will be able to commune and devote to God in an intimate way that is only a blessing for the child of God. If you've ever experienced that, would you say amen? Most of God's people don't understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. They don't understand that you have a partner there. If you try to face your devotions on your own because you feel pressured to perform or you want to check off a list, that's not the right approach. The right approach is that I get to spend time with him. Matter of fact, write this second thing down. The second thing we need to remember is his promise. Write Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. For the promise was there that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So here's the statement. Our quiet time with him is more about discovering his presence than finding the perfect Bible reading plan or study method. And this is, people ask me this all the time. Pastor, do you have a Bible reading plan for me? I'll say, do you have some? Yeah, I have like 1 million at my house. Okay, so my plan's going to help you do better than the other million of those? Yeah, no, it's not. You see, we're so conditioned to think about devotions as what we do and reading and all this, and we forget the major important part of our devotions is communing and understanding the presence of God. God wants to meet with you. If we complete just a Bible reading plan and did not discover his presence, we may have checked off the box for the day on our daily Bible reading, but we missed him. I got to do that again. If we complete a Bible reading plan and we did not discover God's presence in that moment, we may have checked off the box for the day, but we missed him. And I got news for you. Communing with God through his word and through his spirit is way more valuable than you having a reading plan or some kind of way to check a box. And this is where God's people miss this. We're so pressured to perform that we somehow think, well, because I didn't read today and I didn't check off that box, and then if I miss 2 or 3 days, I'm in a routine. And now once I'm in a routine and I miss 5 days, now I've missed a month. Now there's no reason to go back. Now I must quit. We totally missed the boat. It's not about checking off a plan. It's about knowing the presence of God in my life and spending time with God. What good is it if I do some plan, but I missed him? I submit to you this. That takes time. And once you have enjoyed the presence of God in your devotional life, you will make time for him. I'm going to say that again. Once you have discovered in your devotional life the presence of God. You've let the Holy Spirit of God minister to you. You've let him use the Word of God. And once you actually understand and commune and talk and pray and spend time with the Lord and he talks with you, you never forget being in his presence. And once you've gotten a taste of that, nothing is more important to you than that time. So I want to say this, Pastor, I struggle in my devotions. I just can't get it to click. Then probably you have not ever experienced that private, intimate time with God where he has revealed himself through his Spirit and you know you're in his presence and you're devoting and relating to him. Once you have it, you won't let your wife, your hobby, your job, your time, or anything get in the way of doing that. We get confused about what devotions really is. Paul said it this way, that I may know him. I want to say this again because they used to teach us this. It doesn't matter if you get anything out of the Bible, read the Bible. My friend, if you read the Bible and miss the God of the Bible, it didn't do you any good. I feel this pressure. That's not what God intended. I just feel this to perform and be there. That's not what God intended. God has a desire to spend time with you. Number three, God works with us on a grace basis, not on our performance basis. As our Father, he wants to meet us in his word. He wants to meet you there. We have an eternal and amazing grace-based relationship with the creator of the universe. He knows our name. He knows our nature. He loves us. He knows all of our failures, our shortcomings, our inconsistencies, our guilt issues, our life dramas, and he still wants to meet with us. I love that. Write down 1 Kings chapter 19. You do your study. Elijah finds himself in a very dark and difficult place. And it's not Elijah running after God. It's God running after Elijah. By the way, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, who came looking for who? Okay. So are you a child of the living God? If so, say amen. Then God wants to meet with you. He wants to spend time with you. Now, the best example I can give to you about this is my wife, believe it or not, wants to spend time with me. Right? Now, there are ways that I spend time with my wife, and then there's ways that I spend time with my wife. My wife doesn't want me to spend intimate time with her on the beach or out on a date or those kind of moments as husband and wife where I feel pressured to do that. She doesn't want me to feel some performance to drive to that. She wants me to spend time with her relaxed and because I want to do that, right? That's how God is to you. God understands who you are. He understands your shortcomings. He understands all about that. And yet he still loves us. Matter of fact, he loved you before you were saved. And in our humanity, we somehow kind of treat our devotion time with this high pressure where we just check him off the list and we just go on and we feel good about ourselves. Or if we don't check off the list, then we feel better about ourselves. But either way, we missed out on him. God loves you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants you to sit there and commune with him. He's given you the Holy Spirit to do that. He's given you a promise about wanting to know his presence. He's not relating to you on some kind of performance base. So you didn't spend time with him this week, you know what? Or this day or this week, you know what? He's still looking for you. Well Pastor, I just... You know, man, I haven't read my Bible for 30 days, so I just quit. I guarantee you, every single day you wake up, God's there waiting to spend time with you. Waiting to spend time with you. It's not about reading per se. It's about spending time with God. Think about this. The God of the universe wants to spend time with you. Wow. Can you imagine that? Relax on your reading schedule if that's not you. By the way, Mr. Reading Plan or Reading Schedule, come do your reading plan or your reading schedule with me. You do your reading, you check your box, in 30 minutes you tell me what you read. I promise you that's going to be hard on most people because we're so performance-based. But if you sit with God and you ask the Holy Spirit of God to help you commune with Him, and you begin to ask the Holy Spirit of God to take this word, and you ask God to meet in that word, and you begin to go along those lines, and once you commune with God and know His presence there, my friends, that's what will bring you back. A reading plan is so far insufficient to actually communing with God. If you understand that, say amen. Try that. Rethink your thought process there. Pastor, are you against reading plans? I'm not against reading plans. Pastor, do you have a reading plan? I do not have a reading plan because I know I am a list checker offer lover. All right, so let me be real personal to you. Pastor, do you read the Bible every day? No. No. If I read the Bible every single day, I would probably be perfect. Pastor, you're not perfect? No. No. Pastor, do you ever go a couple of days without reading the Bible? Sometimes. Sometimes. But here's what I do have. I have found a place in my life where I go to commune with God. And I know in that place, in that time that I have set aside, when I go there and I begin to commune with God, it's one of the most awesome, awesome parts of my life. And if I miss a day with that or I miss 2 days with that, I don't beat myself up. But I don't get too far from that. But more than me just reading the Word of God, I have learned how to commune with God in His Word, but also in His Spirit, praying and talking with Him. And I have a wonderful time relating to the Lord. If that's not your experience in your devotional life, no wonder you're frustrated beyond belief. Don't hate me because I don't read the Bible every day. Do you read the Bible every day? Yes, Pastor, I read the Bible every day. Well, I've always said there's people in here that are better Christians than me. But you don't love the Lord more than I love the Lord. I don't go long without reading the Bible, but I have days where I don't read the Bible. I don't have too many days where I'm not spirit, or I don't ask the Holy Spirit of God to fill me, because in those days, I'm vulnerable to my flesh. I'm vulnerable to the world. And so I have learned, Lord, I'm not going to make it to that place today. I'm just not going to get there, but Holy Spirit of God, fill me, control me, and protect me. I surrender my life to you, and then as quick as I can, I get back to that place to commune to God. It's not performance, and it's not pressure. If it's not real, what good is it? Here's where you mess the boat up. Here's where you get frustrated. I hope that helps you. I'm going to be able to take some truths about these obstacles and come back to you with these and give you some things that I do personally and other things to help keep me in a devotional and communing place with the Lord. As you go through your week this week, open that Bible. Holy Spirit of God, commune with me. Help me. Help me know God's presence in this moment. And when you read that Bible and you let the Holy Spirit bring those thoughts through you, it's not so much about checking off a list. Did you hear from God? Once you've begun to do that, you won't have any problem with your devotional life. You won't have any time problem with your Bible reading. You'll love it more than you love anything else in this world. All right, let's have our prayer.